Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Chelsea Echo, the review of Middlesbrough 1, Chelsea 0. Yeah, it's all three of us. And we've literally, just before we start recording, we had a little chat about the game, and I think we're all in a very foul mood. And it's now been nearly 48 hours, and we're still all in a foul mood, which should tell you everything you need to know about that game. Obviously, Tobes and I had a conversation in the preview, and he was a bit like, "Nah, we should be okay, we should be all right."
Oh, no, I also said, "I don't worry about them, I worry about us."
Yeah,
and that we should, and that we should be beating Borough, which we should, and that doesn't change. Yeah. It hasn't changed.
Exactly. But yeah, we'll get into that obviously later. But obviously, it's a new low for Chelsea. Probably, do you know what? For me personally, just purely out of context. Worst performance of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Cole Palmer missing two, maybe even three sitters. And, we'll get straight into it. We've got to talk about it. And Tom, obviously, you've not said anything yet. Let's just go straight into the game itself. Mm. What do you want to touch on?
All right, fine. I actually didn't write in this script. It's in the next script. But I'll say it now as it's been hit on me. I completely deny these hideous rumours going around about me and my laptop. In fact, the laptop is still in my room as I went to the Genius Bar and they said it was unfixable.
You went to the Genius Bar?
The Genius.
The Genius Bar?
The Genius Bar. The Genius Bar. The Apple Store to get my laptop fixed. It was beyond repair, so now I am in debt because I had to get a new one.
So the CCTV was just... It was AI or...?
I prefer not to speak. But again,
have you ever been to a Pizza Express in Woking, Tom?
No, but I also don't sweat. That's also another rumour. I actually sweat quite a lot. Anyway,
what's going all
these,
on, everybody?
Accusations. I don't know Callum Hudson-Odoi personally, or Mikel Arteta,
or Steven,
which was also an accusation from the last podcast that I listened to. But I have a new laptop, and I'm back. And what a first pod to be back with.
So back.
But yes, I mentioned in my voice note review, and I guess this will lean into you with a certain manager, Argentinian manager that we currently have, is my just general displeasure at Levi Colwill playing left back over and over again, and it not working over and over again. And then our only actual left back in the squad who's not injured is now on loan at Borussia Dortmund, where we just know he's going to do really well. Because he's going to play in his position, not at right wing, for no apparent reason. I'm fed up with it. I'm fed up with Levi Colwill playing left back. And if that wasn't a lesson of why he shouldn't play left back, if he can't, you know, actually do all right against a mid-table championship team at left back, then there you go. Inside the first minute, he was in trouble. For the goal, he was in trouble. I don't think he really redeemed himself at any moment. And I don't actually blame Levi Colwill particularly because he's not a left back. So that's the frustrating point of that. But I don't want to see him play there anymore. However, what do? We don't have a left back in the squad. So what are we going to do? That's the thing. We've now tied our hands behind our back essentially. And, you know, we now have to either sign a left back or wait for Ben Chilwell, who's got a chronic injury problem, or Mark Kukurea, who's out for 3 months to come and play at left back. Or we have to play Gusto at left back when he's actually a right back, which means playing De Sessi at right back. So it's just an endless clusterfuck of nonsense, and I'm fed up with it.
Do you want to know something else about that that came today, which is another reason why I mean, obviously Tobes is very, very, he made his points in the voice note review, but I semi-agree, but I want to touch on it more, and this kind of brings it in nicely. Did you know that now that David Datra-Fofana has come back to Chelsea, we might not be able to loan him out? So his loan move to Zaire's in danger,
yep,
because our seventh loan spot has gone to Ian Mattson, who's our only player who can play the position we need him to right now.
Yep.
Which just means there's not only just a clusterfuck on the pitch, but behind the scenes, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Who said this was a good idea? Because it's absolutely ridiculous. And it's like you said, it's a lesson. It's every single time we watch Levi Colwill play left back, you can see he's uncomfortable. And I don't know if you boys heard the call-in show. Obviously, we had someone come and say, look, he's a Premier League player. He should be able to just go into that position. I couldn't disagree more. You want to have your best players in the best positions, right? The fact that we had big clubs, some of the biggest clubs in the world, come knock on our door in the summer and go, by the way, we'll take Levi Colwill. We'll play him centre-back. And then we guaranteed him minutes saying, you'll play at centre-back, you'll do this. And this has happened this season. My God. But I appreciate there's been a lack of consistency in terms of selection. I appreciate there's been issues. But surely, like, at some point, logic would prevail. And I really thought it would do after the Newcastle Cup game. Because it was really funny. When you played Ian Matson at left-back, who's a natural left-back and can overlap and go forward, and Mal Augusta at right-back, who's a natural right-back and can overlap and go forward, which you would think, with the manager and the way he plays his football, if you think about how he played at Spurs, which was the best football he played, where you had Danny Rose and Kyle Walker just absolutely obliterating the wings. You had defensive midfielder drop in, so it was almost about back three, but you had someone who could screen, and you had two centre-backs, and it was all la-di-da and great. And then he does this. I don't get it, and I don't get why he persisted with it. It just makes no sense to me.
Sorry, Tobes, you go.
That's all right. I got experimenting and playing there a couple of times, but we all quite quickly worked out he's not a left back. Let's just keep him at left. I was actually laughing earlier because I don't know if you saw that it's rumoured that Enciso goal is going to win the Puskas.
Yeah.
And I saw in the build up Colwill coming in from centre back position and playing that pass, and I was like, yeah, that's where he plays, isn't he? That's where he plays. And like Louis said, there's a reason why everyone's after him. We were so eager to time down his contract because he's a top, top talented player. And we're just shifting him at left back. And everyone can see the issue other than the man in charge that persists with picking there. I'd love to be a fly on the wall for a conversation between Matson and Cole at some point this season. Because surely, when Cucurella and Chilwell were out, Matson and him have spoke about him. And he's probably got... And Cole's probably said to him, like, I don't get why he's not just playing you here and playing me at centre back. Like, surely that's a conversation that's happened. You'd be shocked if it isn't, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like... And like you said, we're happy loaning him out and he's going to look good at left back rather than the right wing. What a shock. But it's just something I'm so tired of. And I was seeing even old tweets, PSG tweets and Spurs tweets. Spurs, I was moaning about everything that's going on. I am very much at the end of my tether and I don't think he's that guy. I just really don't. And a Spurs fan was saying, yeah, we were getting some warning signs in our final year when he played Son at left wing back. And I thought, yeah, that sounds right, doesn't it? And I was looking at PSG and they were moaning about... He had that Timo Kerrer, who's at West Ham, most obvious centre-back you've ever seen. He was playing at right-back. Like, it was a constant thing. And it's a constant theme that he hasn't evolved. Like, let's call a spade for a second. There's a reason Spurs sacked him. He didn't leave Spurs because he did do a good job initially. He didn't do really well at Spurs. And then someone poached him. Spurs sacked him. Spurs were happy to get rid of him. And he hasn't evolved in that time. And, yeah, we're playing a pressing football that takes away some of the... higher ceilings of some of our best players, very talented players. Like Moises Caicedo was someone that was sought. Do you think Klopp was chasing him down? And they're top of the league currently. They're chasing him down because he's crap. Or they're chasing down Colwell because he's crap. Or the Enzo we even saw the first 6 months of last 6 months of last season, despite how bad we were. We saw what a star he was. Like, I don't think it helps anyone. And even down to, I'm not defending him for a second because he frustrates the life out of me. I know it's the same for you boys at times as well because he can be a good player and that's where the frustration comes from. It's not the fact that he's constantly crap. With Sterling, I was like, God, you're doing nothing. Why aren't you running at players? And then I also think, would you look better with an overlapping left-back though? Like, would you look better without a centre-back there? Because that's not... And like Tom said, again, this isn't Colwell's fault. It's not his skill set. You're not maximising his skill set. You need to hide weaknesses and show strengths. That's what a good manager will do. They'll profile them correctly, have a system that works with every player. The only one it suits is Gallagher because he runs about.
Mm. Yeah. Well, there's that clip of Gallagher when Enzo and Caicedo hunt the ball down, win the ball back, and then you've got Palmer and Madueke out in space wanting the ball and Gallagher takes it back, takes six touches and then passes it back to the centre-back. That's been going on. We've been playing too slowly all season, and the only times we've actually looked like there's been a bit of intensity is when we played against good teams. I don't understand why that's happening. And then when we play against a team where we have 81% of the ball in the second half, we can only register two shots because it's just passing around the centre. I just don't understand
it. But do you know the reason with that? When you have players like Raheem Sterling, you expect to take these players on and do his bit. He doesn't do it.
Yeah, well, he's
Raheem Sterling turns up. Right, in a big game or in a game where it might be a little bit easier for him. But guess what? When the cards are down and you need someone to step up, who, by the way, is an extremely senior player in this team, and I think I've said this already this year, right? Raheem Sterling's been knocking about for 10 years. 10 years He's been playing Premier League football, right? And with the numbers that he has and the way that he plays, it's extremely deceiving. You wouldn't think that that man, right, has been part of title-winning teams, record-breaking teams, broke into the England setup, proved his value, proved his worth, and then was looked at as one of the greatest wingers that England have had, by the way. That was a serious conversation a few months ago, or not a few months ago, a couple of years ago, where it was like, oh, is Raheem Sterling one of our best ever wingers?
No.
Really?
I never thought that, and I definitely don't know.
Oh, it's the way, he still makes decisions like he's 16, which baffles me. Absolutely baffles me. And you know what? I think Cole, if you look at players like Raheem Sterling, look at, I guess, Ilkay Gundogan, look at players that Pep's let go from that City team. Cole Palmer's an anomaly because he forced the issue, right? He went, I want to go on loan. They went, you either stay or you go. Fine, I'll go then, right? He forced the issue. But every other player that's been sold, have you noticed? Pep's been a bit like, do you know what? Yeah, ship him on. He's not an idiot. And Raheem Sterling is supposed to be a senior figure in that team. But guess what? When he doesn't turn up and he's like, do you know what? I don't really fancy it, boys. No one else does. No one else does if he's on the pitch. And the performance in the FA Cup against Preston, where I went, why has he got the man of the match award? People go, well, he got a goal and assist. It's really obvious. Look at it. People seem to forget in football about the eye test. And I'll tell you what, Raheem Sterling, every single game this season, apart from little 5 or 6 minute spurts, if I'm going to be honest, has failed it every single time. He should not, unless it's like a massive issue where you have no players on the wing, should not be playing. I'd rather play a kid out there. I'd rather get someone through from the academy. Someone who actually wants to take people on.
Just play Mudrick, who I thought was bad when he came on, but actually prior to that has been playing very well. But you're probably not helping his confidence when...
No. Like,
exactly.
And what do you think he's thinking when he sees Sterling start ahead of him and thinks, but he's been shit for a while, and I've actually been quite good. In fact, I'm the only reason you're still in this cup. That's probably what he's thinking. And you're going to drop him over me. We all watched that first half, and we'll get on to Palmer. Palmer had some chances, but we were diabolical. We were dire, weren't we? And he never changes it. I thought in the cup, when me and Louis did the review, we said the first half against Preston, no control, dreadful first half, doesn't change it. Like, why are there no proactive subs? There's nothing like that. And the choice of sub, when I saw Madueke and Enzo coming off, not that we'd been good, no one deserved massive amounts of praise. Nonny's first touch, some points, was non-existent. Enzo wasn't getting in the game, partly because he's been pushed up as like a striker when he should be sat deep helping our build-up. Why did we look so good against Liverpool? What a shock. Enzo was a lot deeper, and now he wants to swap him and Gallagher's roles. He took those two off, and I thought they looked more creative or more of a threat than Conor Gallagher and Sterling, because Sterling was having one of those games. And Conor Gallagher, if you have the ball... as a team, he adds zero. He adds zero. He doesn't give you any threat. And unless he's chasing around with the people that do have the ball, he doesn't give you anything, because there's no passing ability there. There's no creativity there. There's no shooting there. There's nothing. So how is he still on the pitch? They were both still on the pitch ahead of those two being taken off. It was like, I don't know what game you're watching, mate. I don't know what game you're watching, Poch.
But I appreciate what you're saying about Conor Gallagher, but then at the same time, like, I've said all season, like, obviously people say, look at the stats, whatever, that's great. Eye test-wise, I appreciate he's not everyone's cup of tea. But Conor Gallagher is very much, I think, in a strong, strong team, Conor Gallagher's a fantastic squad player. He's someone who, in those situations where what he did really well at points of the season, when we were talking about the balance of that midfield, when he had Enzo, Caicedo and Gallagher, and it looked pretty solid, was... he'd win the ball back, he'd collect it, and then he'd give it straight away to more creative players. And then all of a sudden recently, he's then not been given the ball, he's not been moving the ball. I'm like, hang on, what's going on here?
I think that's a bit generous, just because we've seen this for a year and a half. I'd say there was a month that he did that.
I'd say
the rest of the time he's been shit on the ball. Let's be honest. Yeah. I think with the ball at his feet, he's not a good footballer. He's very good off the ball. I like Conor Gallagher. I like what he brings in terms of that passion. But for me, he's a bad version of Mount.
He's a player to have on the bench when you're winning
He's an attacking John Obi Mikel. Come on.
Yeah.
And just see the game out by running after people like a maniac.
Going forward. But I agree. I just... And this is why I said it a couple weeks ago, months ago, whatever, about would I sell Conor Gallagher? Yes, I would. I still would.
Yeah, I'm not bothered.
For 50, 60 mil. Yeah, obviously. If we're getting that much for him, yeah. He's not worth that much. He's a decent... But what clubs are you going to go and benefit right now?
If you can get, like... Okay, I'll put this to you. Right, so Spurs, let's say Spurs go, here's 50, 60 for Conor Gallagher. And we go, fine. Right, we'll put 50, 60 on Morgan Gibbs-White. Who would you rather have?
Well, yeah, obviously.
It's not even close.
Newcastle will apparently have to sell one of their crown jewels.
Yeah. What if we went, okay, we'll have Isak or Bruno.
Just go and get Bruno. And then you've got an unbelievable midfield three. They're all young. That's a nice balanced front midfield three.
There's no weakness. He's still got the same grit that he'd give.
It's just... I'm saying this. I don't dislike Conor Gallagher. I still think he does have value in the squad. But in the squad. Not in the starting lineup every single week.
And for the sacrifice of players that are better, that are actually regressing now at this point.
Okay, but right now, what is our midfield three? Because he has to play. This is why I wouldn't sell him now.
Yeah, but he has to play. He doesn't have to play to sacrifice what Enzo's best at. He doesn't have to sacrifice
If you want to play him in some big game, sure. If you want to play him against Borough, we're going to have the ball pretty much the whole game. You don't have to play him. If you want to play
the point of what I'm saying is that we literally couldn't play anyone else.
Yeah, Lavia getting re-injured is not helpful, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I've said, like, that is why,
we could have played Palmer in the 10 and played Mudryk. And put Sterling on the right where he's actually half decent. And
who put who down the middle? Who?
Well, you played Palmer there, didn't you? You could play Medwecker as well, play Broya, whatever.
Yeah, but you play Broya. Okay, well... I mean, with that being said then, say, for example, one of those players gets injured again, which, by the way, given our record over the past 6 years, or probably since we won... Actually, not even 6 years, probably since we won the Champions League, so the past three or four, you know, we've had probably... the way our injury list is, I compare it to that Arsenal team under Wenger in the late noughties, early 10s, the team which was basically always injured. Like, we are in serious trouble. So, you know, I think, look, the whole... I get why everyone says what they're saying about Poch. And I'm going to be honest, I have no confidence in him anymore. I don't. But the other issue I have in this situation, like for me, it's when he said, you know, we played well, but I get football's a game of high margins, but players of that quality shouldn't be missing those opportunities.
We didn't play well.
I get you missing one, maybe, but three? Like, I get Cole Palmer had a bad game. You know, it is what it is. But three opportunities missed, and then instead of kind of, I get you have to have a forward-facing image. Right, you're going to be different in the dressing room to what you are in the press.
I hope so.
But I'm going. You hope he'd gone in and screamed bloody murder, because to be honest, like after in the Preston game, I'm guessing that's what happened. You know, he's gone, lads, it's fucking Preston. Like, pull your finger out your ass. What are we doing? Let's go.
But we only actually picked up when we scored. Before that, it was more of the same, and then we got one goal, and then we went on.
I'm glad you brought those chances up, actually, Louis, because. Even then, I wanted a highlight with those. Like, yeah, Palmer should absolutely score. The only reason we're probably not being as, you know, harsh on him is the fact that the bloke actually has a bit of credit in the bank. I mean, a lot of them don't.
Yeah.
So at least for this, we look at Palmer and go, that is an anomaly. It's a costly anomaly, but like it is an anomaly. You have been very good. Yeah. So I can forgive that one. That, you know, we've seen enough.
Yeah.
The chances themselves, how they were manufactured, one of them Burrow just gave to us. And the other one was like, Enzo had a shot and their keeper was shit and just spilled it. And then one, Caicedo made a good pass, the last one right before halftime. Probably the hardest of the three chances, really.
Yeah.
They're not stemming from coaching. It's not like, you know, when you watch other teams and they have certain, the fullbacks overlap. Ours can't because one's a centre-back and sometimes he plays bloody disaster at right-back, so sometimes it's both can't overlap. A bit of a system going on with that. Everything's individual quality. Like, even when I was looking back at our wins, like Luton, Palace. If you look at every goal, you're like, oh, it's a bit of magic from Palmer or Madueke or Gusto. Like, it's not like, oh, we're putting really good moves together that you can see have come from the training ground. I don't want to go back to the Colwell point, but just to drive this home, the excuse for playing Colwell, it seems to him, he's like, oh, the lack of physicality and height. But we're shit from corners, mate. We're dog shit anyway. It doesn't make a difference. Why wouldn't you just play Mattson? It doesn't matter about height because we can see from pretty much every corner going. So it's just like there's so much that just made me think, I just don't think he's that bloke.
But then so this is where, so for me, I'm feeling that more and more. I'm feeling more and more apathetic to anything he says. But I went red. I was producing the show for the school, so I was listening to what everyone was saying, but then I was reading his comments, and I had to walk outside and just take a breather, because when he goes, "We played well, but," I'm like, "Oh my god, that's so Graham Potter." It's I get PTSD when someone goes, "Oh, you played well, but," I get these are young lads, but not at the same time,
it's Borough.
But yes, it that's exactly
it's Borough,
it's
mate.
Middlesbrough, Potch. It's Middlesbrough, Potch. It's like it's Preston. You know, we get in there. It's like, oh my god, like. Again, like I'm saying, you in the dressing room, you might be screaming bloody murder, right? But even then, I would be coming out into that dressing room and you'd be honest, you'd be saying, "Look, I appreciate Barrow may have played better on the night. You know what? We didn't take our chances. But guess what? We shouldn't be in this position."
It isn't good enough.
Saying in the preview. Yeah, you were saying in the preview, you know, we should win this. And when he's going, "Oh, we should be humble," I'm like, no, you're not a Chelsea manager. You're not a Chelsea manager. But then the problem stems even further. The reason I'm not going, right, get rid of him, is because, okay, if you get rid of him, one, do you who you replace him with? And two, does that fix the problem? First bit, I'm not 100% certain there's anyone out there right now who's available and top draw that can come in and make a difference. Not only that, but then they've still got to work with these two sporting directors who, I'm sorry, are far out of their depth. And I've been saying this since August. They're so far out of their depth, it hurts. And then you've got to deal with this new culture which is being put in place, which is, you know, you have to sign a form to get a fucking pencil. It's stuff like that where it's like, the whole thing, since day one, has been a mess. An absolute mess. They're going, "We want the best in class." You want the best in class? Go get an actual sporting director. Don't give me Win Stanley and Stewart. Go and get me Paul Mitchell, who's available right now.
Or Edwards.
Go and try and
Edwards,
get Michael
Edwards
out.
Edwards is chilling, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, get all these, there are people here, and you, to be honest, the only way this can be fixed now for me is you go, right, you two, Edwards, Mitchell, let's have a conversation. Here's a piece of paper, write down what you want. And I'm being honest, the board, and I think the way it's been operated now, everyone just needs to take a step back and reassess. Because, put it this way, so my stepmom, right, she doesn't even watch football. And she sits there, and me and Dad are watching the team with our head in our hands, and she goes, "Why don't I just sign a couple of older players? I have some older players in that team." She doesn't even watch football, and she can see the issues. So either this whole plan of under-25s, build this great team, have this fantastic portfolio, right, is either something they're sticking to, and they're going to stick to their guns to the day they die, or they actually don't know what they're doing.
It's the latter.
And I'm part of me hopes it's the latter. Part of me really hopes it's the latter. Because if they're doing that, then they have no idea at all what they're doing. So then the whole problem, like I was saying in July, when we did that pilot, when we sat there and said, "This is what I think like with Chelsea." Unless people realise within the club the issues that are there, we're in trouble. And this isn't going to be 1 or 2 years in the wilderness. We'll get European football, we'll come back, we'll get better, we'll develop, etc., 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 etc. This is going to be 6, 7, 8 years in the wilderness. These players will eventually come good, get to their standard.
Oh, they won't be here. Yeah, they won't be here.
They won't be here. Or if they are here, they're not going to be worth 105 million quid that we paid for them. They're going to be worth maybe about 70, 60. You know, be thereabouts, be pretty good Premier League players, but they're not going to be hitting the ceilings that we expect them to. Because guess what? The infrastructure that was there, that was all you needed to do with Chelsea was tweak it.
Yeah, there wasn't. That's also what you're saying in terms of years in the wilderness. That also doesn't have to be the case. That's very, like, none of it is something that's going to, the only reason it will take time is because they are that clueless. And I'm the same as you in terms of, like, I'm very much strong. He's not the bloke. I just don't think he's the bloke. But I don't trust them to get it right. Even if there were options out there, and there are options, and also we are Chelsea. You can prize people out of a job. You can. Chelsea can do that. Chelsea are very capable of doing that. They're very happy to just shove a load of money at a load of 16-year-olds. You want to put that money towards an actual manager, a club will go, "That's like a transfer fee for a manager. We'll have that." You can do that. You can rectify all this stuff. But do I trust them to get it right? No.
Okay, so for three of us, the three of us are in this situation, right? Chelsea have basically turned around to us and gone, lads, we don't know what we're doing. Can you three come and help us? And which would be insane, by the way, the fact they get some fucking Chelsea podcast to help them would just be another.
And we'd still
do
a better job. But we still would have done a better job. I think most fans.
If you're
would
in
have
the
done.
Position right now, who would you get right now? You're saying you could click your fingers, drop of a hat, go and get someone. And with the methodology you're saying, who'd you get straight away? Who would, by the way, would come in and be able to rectify the situation everywhere, not just on the pitch, everywhere?
Get that bastard Simeone in then.
Do you think that would work? Do you think he'd work with the two technical directors?
No. I don't give a shit. Fire them. I don't give a shit. I couldn't care less. You've put this club to where it is. You go. That's not the standards we're setting here. We're setting Chelsea-level standards, what Roman Abramovich did. Do you think he would have tolerated their behaviour? Oh, you're signing a load of kids, are you? We're 10th in the league. Fuck off. Like, that is what would have happened. Heads would roll. The helicopter would land in Cobham. This wouldn't be happening. This wouldn't be happening. And look, yeah, okay, Simeone, look, does it really suit the profiles of our players? Not really. It'd make them bastards. It'd make me feel more Chelsea. That's why I'd probably go for him. But like, I've seen people doing like studies on that, Amorim or Xabi Alonso, in terms of how modern they are as coaches.
Oh.
In terms of if you watch them, you're like, okay, well, they are modern coaches. They are going to be better at profiling these players and not playing them out of position. Amorim actually kind of suits us in terms of having three at the back. Like, three at the back kind of works for us. It just seems to be the case, doesn't it, with Conte? Even Conte, he's out of a job. Would I have Antonio Conte back? Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would have Conte back. He's out of a job, Louis. I'm not sitting there begging for him to come back, but do I think he'd do a better job than Poch? Yeah.
I think that's the key thing that I don't think enough people are talking about is the standards and how far they managed to slip in 18 months. You know, what were we last season before last? We won the champ. Was it the season before last we won the Champions League, or the year before that?
It feels longer.
It'll be 3 years in May. It'll be 3 years in May. But when we took the standard slipping, exactly like that Middlesbrough game, we lost that. Not only we're not shocked, and rivals aren't shocked. If this had been a few years ago and we'd lost to Borough in a semi-final of a cup, it would be like, what has gone on? But you're not like that. You're like, no, that, I could see that happening. As soon as I went 1-0 up, did neither of you thought we'd win the game, did you? You thought like, oh, maybe we'll draw? And then the second half started and you went, oh, no, we're not going to get a draw. We're just going to lose 1-0.
Mine was when Raheem Sterling just refused to go for the ball when it was like the 60-odd minute. Nolan Madueke put in a cracking ball, like a really good ball, where any seasoned pro who scored a lot of goals, which funnily enough, apparently Raheem Sterling has, you just stick your leg out. You'd go for it. And he just went, nah, can't be bothered. Just kind of looked, turned around to him, had a wake. I went, nah, don't know, mate. And you got, it's at that point that I go, all right, that's it, game's done. I was like, that's it, game's done. End of, finished, finito. You know, I'm there. That's like, this is why, like, I don't fully blame Poch. I get the awkward position he's in, but he really has to up his standards.
That's a team-wide attitude thing. Which comes from the top. That comes from the manager. And if you don't discipline people like Sterling, I would not have played Sterling for a very long time after that Wolves game. And in fact, I possibly would have gone, you know what, you're off, fuck that.
Especially while Mudryk's been playing well.
Yeah, exactly. And Madueke's come in. Our two best games in a long time were Palace and Luton, because Madueke was playing and he's actually sharp and actually plays like a team player, not Raheem get to the byline, see if I can cut in and score myself Sterling. That's what I would do, and that's a discipline thing, that's an attitude thing, that comes from the top. It hasn't happened, so you have to start thinking, when's it going to end, Robbie? That's what I say. I've had enough. We're coming into this game against Fulham at the weekend. We haven't lost to Fulham at home since the 1970s. We haven't lost to Middlesbrough in 17 years.
Save it,
as soon as Poch comes along, oh bang, here we go, we lose. Like, if we lose to Fulham, he's gone for me. That's it. I'm all in on the Poch out train. Right now, it's still a very redeemable situation because we've got Middlesbrough at home. We're only a goal down. We should still go and win that. But it's a shocking performance, and I think it's a true indictment of how badly the standards have slipped, that we now can head to a mid-table championship team and lose because they score in the first half, and once we concede, we can't score. It's beyond disappointing at this point. It's just shit.
Okay, well, look, that's our thoughts, obviously, on the game. Obviously, all of you that tuned into Final Score with the Score, we're very appreciative. He's had a good time with that. So please, post-game, every single match day, we're going to be doing that show. So if you want to get your piece heard on the Chelsea Echo, make sure that you head across to our Twitter.
Get involved, everybody.
As Tobe says, look, that's nice and uplifting at the end, isn't it? Get involved, everybody!
So make sure you...
But head across, have a chat with the Score, leave all your comments there, engage with the Echo on all platforms as well. We're going to start doing more reels and getting ourselves going across everything now. We're here to stay, lads. That's how I describe it. We're here to stay. And you know, if you don't like us, you know, all good, you know, not the end of the world, we'll survive. Please engage with the Echo, make sure you follow the pod. Obviously give it a nice cheeky 5-star review. We appreciate all the reviews that have been given already, and we will see you for the Fulham preview in a bit.